It's time for the first of the season, the best-in-class position breakdowns for the draft. JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan. Today it's inside linebackers, not edge rushers, inside linebackers. The Bucks, of course, could use one of those. And Sean will look at the big ones you need to know and some others you don't necessarily need to know. It's fast. It's fun. It's presented by Bill Curry Ford. Here is Sean Sullivan.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. What an adventure I had with the Joe Bucks fan team, being in Indianapolis at my first combine, interviewing players, meeting coaches, all kinds of journalists from around the country. It was an amazing experience. And as I go through the breakdown of all of the different position groups for this NFL draft, I'm going to be able to play live interviews with the players and segments of the stuff that I recorded talking with the players. It's going to be really a different aspect to the Best in Class podcast. I'm very excited about it. I have a lot of stuff to share with the listeners. Again, just a really amazing time to be around all of the players that I, you know, watch tape on, and I get to see them. I mean, I feel like I watch more tape, more games than probably anyone in the country. That's how I feel about it. But what I don't get to do is interview the players, talk to them, see how they are as people, see how mature they are, see where they are in their development as a future NFL player, things that real scouts get to do who do this full time. And I was blessed to do it. Can't wait to share knowledge. So this podcast is going to be the breakdown of linebackers. We're not going to do edges. We're just going to break down the linebackers. So these linebackers, depending on a 4-3 or 3-4, mostly inside-outside linebackers will go, but no edge rushers, specific edge rushers. We're going to break down on a podcast. Obviously, you know my love for edge rushers. First, let's talk about our sponsor, Bill Curry Ford, family-owned dealership since 1960. We have amazing specials going on right now on the Bronco Raptor, which I have three left. We're doing $20,000 off MSRP on Bronco Raptors. I have three left in stock. They're an amazing vehicle. If you're shopping for a Bronco, right, you're not going to get a better price than up to $20,000. So $20,000 on the Raptors, and then it changes depending on MSRP percentage, but you're going to get the largest Bronco discount in the month of March at Bill Curry Ford. Don't forget, we have free pickup and delivery and free mobile service for to service all of your needs that you could possibly have, recalls, engine lights. What if it's just routine maintenance? Why take the time to drive into the store when you can just make a phone call and we'll come to you at no charge, right? So you obviously you're going to pay for your service, but there's no charge for pickup and delivery and mobile. It's in, again, we're talking about the largest service drive in the United States, 67 cars deep. It's an amazing experience in and out, whether you're doing it from home or at the dealership. And don't forget, we have the Bronco Brunchery, which is growing, right? It is a restaurant that we have inside Bill Curry Ford. Amazing thing about this restaurant is if you have an electric car and you're outside charging, you can go on the mobile app and actually order food and drinks to your car while you're charging. A class exclusive for Bill Curry Ford. I don't believe anyone in the nation is doing that. The chef is from New York City, a professional chef. The food is amazing. Again, if you go to our website, you can look up the Bronco Brunchery. Also, while you're on our website, shop for cars. We have over 1,000 to choose from, new and used vehicles, certified cars. We have a huge selection. And right now, we need trades. So your car is worth more right now to me. I will pay up to $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 over Kelley Blue Book. I need vehicles. We are selling so many cars that I keep running out. So right now is the best time to sell your vehicle to me. Even if you're not interested in buying a car, it's okay. Just bring your car in and I will buy it. Absolutely. And if you find something that you like there, I'll sell it to you. Not an issue. Again, Bill Curry Ford, visit us at all the social media sites, Bill Curry Ford Tampa, obviously TikTok, X, Instagram, anything Meta, obviously we're all over it. Please leave me reviews at Apple Play, Podbeam. I love reviews. And if you want to email me about anything draft related, you want to talk about a player that you like, please, I'll talk about it on the podcast. Let's talk about it. That's email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com. I will respond to you and we will talk about it. Speaking of that, so there's this deli, right, called Danny's Deli, and it is an amazing deli in Brandon. So basically, big Philadelphia Eagles place. I know, Sean, what are you going to say? Everybody knows how I feel about the Eagles. The Eagles and the Saints are very competitive for who I hate more. So basically, they make the best pastrami sandwich with this side of cherry sauce. Ira, I know you listen to my podcast. This is a place that you should take time to drive your wife to and enjoy. Unbelievable place. Anyway, I go in there, and he's like, I listened to your podcast. Where was the Eagles draft? And why didn't I get a breakdown on the Eagles draft? So listen, the Eagles, the prior two seasons, built the Super Bowl team that they have recently. I still believe that there were five better drafts than the Eagles this year. But the core of the Eagles and the Lions and the Rams, these teams built their core over the last several years. And I wanna shout out to the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles had a wonderful draft, and this is for all of the Philadelphia Eagles fans. You guys won the Super Bowl, even though we're 7-1. The Buccaneers are 7-1 against you. You're lucky you didn't play us. You still won. You won fairly. You beat the other teams. You built your team through the draft. There's nothing more I can say but kudos. Again, that's Danny's Deli. 13457 Fishhawk Boulevard, Lithia, Florida, 33547. Look them up online. Some of the best food that you're going to absolutely get. And just avoid the fact that they are Phillies fans. All right, let's break down the linebackers. And we're going to start with Jaylon Walker out of Georgia. Now remember, I saw all these players at the Combine. So I got to see their size. You know, I got to talk to them. Really great stuff. And depending on who I got to interview, I'll play snippets inside the podcast for you. But Jaylon Walker is a guy that everyone is extremely high on because he's not just an outside linebacker. The guy can rush the passer some. But I don't have him in my edge rushers because he's not a hand in the grass, you know, pass rusher. He's not even a stand up. He's more of a stand up rusher who's going to go on a blitz and do that for you. He's 6'1", 243. Again, I said he was out of Georgia. He ran a 4.5 40, so extremely fast for his size. Great east to west pursuit. He had 6.5 sacks in his career, 61 tackles, 38 solo tackles. Now, I'm going to use a lot of data in this podcast. And at the end of the podcast, I'll cite a lot of my sources, but I'm not going to do it as we go through. But I use a lot of sources to get my information. And I'm going to give credit to everyone at the end of the podcast. And then, of course, I have my own slants and my own things that I like players. But he is my number one linebacker. I believe that he's going to be top 15 draft pick in this draft, possibly a top 10 draft pick. So his NFL comparison is Nolan Smith, for those of you, everyone who knows who Nolan Smith is. So he's an off-the-ball linebacker. He can play on the edge, but he's stand-up. He drifts downhill to meet blocks and constricts run lanes. He's got good length. He's a very twitch athlete, which you can see in his combine testing. Natural against the run. That's easy. Does a really great job. He has a very good like slap move that he does that gets him to the quarterback on when he's blitzing. So right now I'm looking at he has a speed and he does have a slide-to-slap move, which is going to get some quarterback pressures when he's in that blitzer. Also, when he takes on a blocker like the tight ends, it's not really a match. So he doesn't really get lost on blocks. We're going to talk about linebackers who get lost on blocks later in this podcast. He's not one of them. Very, very strong. Very, very fast. Obviously well-coached at Georgia. Number one linebacker. There's not really much else you can say. If this guy fell to 19, you know, obviously the Bucs. And we're going to talk about what the Bucs are going to do at linebacker. You know what? Actually, I'm going to put a pin in our next linebacker, and I'm going to talk about the Bucs' view right now. So with the re-signing of Vontae David and the fact that when I was at the Combine, Todd Bowles and Jason Light really talked up Savassier Dennis, which was our linebacker we drafted out of Pittsburgh. And if he's healthy, you only have those two inside backers in the 3-4. Right, those are your starters. You're going to start Levante, and you're going to start Savassier. And then you're going to start whoever our edge rushers are. But if our starting linebackers are already set going into this year, we're not looking for an instant linebacker, probably a top pick. Most likely, the linebacker that we're going to draft is going to be someone that can replace Levante David, play behind him this year, and learn from him, which might not be that first-round draft pick. And I'm also going to point out the players that the Buccaneers met formally with as a linebacker. As of right now, they didn't meet with Jaylon Walker because I believe that was not one of their formal interviews, but probably informal. But here's a guy that's an instant plug-and-play player for a team most likely that plays a 3-4. So it's very similar to what the Bucs play, who can rush the passer, who can stop the run, who can do coverage, 4-5 speed. Again, he's a a top player in this draft. Now, let's talk about a guy that's been linked to the Bucks over and over again. That's Jahad Campbell. This was the guy that I talked about early before Lavonte David signed, and then I found out all this stuff about Savassie Dennis, who, by the way, if you guys want to go back and see the Detroit game, which was the first game of the season for the Buccaneers where we won in Detroit, if you want to go back and look at that game and you want to see Dennis and how he runs left to right, he tackled Jahmyr Gibbs in open field. There's probably only a handful of linebackers in the NFL that can do that by themselves. So I'm not saying that that Dennis is this great linebacker. I'm not saying he's not. I don't have enough to watch on him because he's been off injured. But what I can tell you is when he has been in the game, he has been very, very good. So let's hope for all of our sakes that he stays in the game. Jahad Campbell, 6'3 linebacker, 235 pounds, ran a 4.52, just an athletic beast. Had 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 119 tackles, 55 solo tackles. This guy, if you were making a linebacker in a lab, this is height, weight, muscle, size, strength, east to west, north to south, game speed, everything you could ever want is in Jahad Campbell. He has amazing pursuit speed. He mirrors backs out of the backfield, so that he's a very, very, very good cover linebacker. Has burst. He works right around blockers. That's not going to be an issue. The guy is an absolute fit for what the Buccaneers are doing. And he also has, by the way, some pass rush in him as well. So he kind of fits, this player kind of fits exactly what Todd Bowles' 3-4 defense is. You know, if we're going to invest in a guy in the first round, you know, this guy's going to be available most likely at 19, which in the draft you can never say that. The guy seems to be a really good kid. I really enjoyed meeting these guys. I think he's got a really good head on his shoulder. I watched a lot more tape on him because obviously he might be the Buccaneers draft pick. But I can tell you something. I can't tell if it's because he had so many great players on his team that he sometimes set back and allowed plays to happen. But you can see that he's quick to process. But there are plays where you're watching him and he's not fully engaged in the play. Almost like he's waiting for someone else to make the play, or he's saying, okay, that person has that area, and then he stops his pursuit. So, I mean, there's things to work on everyone's game, but if he didn't have that, I think Campbell might be, and I understand that everyone's saying that off-the-ball linebackers are not as valued in the NFL. Well, there's a lot of teams last year that wish they had an impactful off-the-ball linebacker going into the playoffs because you get really exposed in the passing game when you don't have a really good speed linebacker, coverage linebacker. There's nothing wrong with this game except what I just spoke about. I mean, that can be fixed. This is a gentleman that Bucks met with in a formal interview, and that's Jahad Campbell, linebacker out of Alabama. Unbelievable talent. Fits Todd Bowles, probably the best out of all the linebackers. This is what I would assume would be our pick if we decide to do that. But with Lavonte David re-signing and the way they talk about Dennis, I'm thinking that it's possible that we don't address the linebacker position until later in the draft and we go possibly corner or edge rush in the first round. But we'll talk about that in a later degree. Third is Demetrius Knight Jr., 6'2", 235, ran a 4.5, 8.40 out of South Carolina. Had 2 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 82 tackles, 57 solo tackles. Unbelievable frame. This guy's not the guy you want to fight in a phone booth. This guy looks the part. He looks like Superman. He's really good with his hands. He shed blocks great. He pursues with movement. He's very natural at slipping blocks. We just talked about that. He has great coverage. He doesn't have the pass rushing ability that say a Campbell has and a Walker has. So you're losing a little bit in pass rush right now. As far as what I noticed on film with him, he's very fast to shoot and recognize gaps, and then he misses where he'll guess. So we had a linebacker like that in Devin White where if he was in the area and he guessed right, though he would blow the play up. That's very similar to how Knight is with his play. I see that he sometimes is just so fast to react that he takes himself out of position. We'll see how that goes in coaching. But again, you're getting a solid off-the-ball linebacker who can play the run, who can cover, but he's not going to be much of a blitzer, not much of a guy who has shown that he can get to the quarterback. This is a guy that's just a lunch pail guy that just packs his lunch, brings it to work with him, does all the stuff that a linebacker should do. And I'm telling you right now, he's an interesting guy, but he doesn't really fit what Todd Bowles is trying to do. My next linebacker is Carson Swenchinger out of UCLA. 4 sacks, 1 fumble forced, 136 tackles. That's right, I said 136 tackles. 90 solo tackles. This is just one of those throwback linebackers. 6'2", 242, a little heavier. Ran a 4.7, not as fast, but just a bruiser at linebacker. Again, knows the game, recognizes, has quick process, obviously for 90 solo tackles. Rare instincts this guy has, because as you can see by his tackles. Body control and agility in short spaces, plays fast, sees run lane development like a running back. So basically what they're saying is he processes really quickly what he's seeing in front of him. There's a lot of stuff that they talk about processing with him. He's very, very strong tackler. He explodes into the running back, into his target. I think that he's going to be fine in coverage, even with the 4.7 speed. He's also a special teams guy. And I wouldn't say that he's not going to be able to be a good blitzer. Even though you don't have a lot to go on with only 4 sacks in his career, when you watch him on tape, somebody this physical and somebody that knows where he's supposed to be and knows where everybody is on the field, you know, he should be able to get to it. Some of the things they talked about is his downfall and the reason why he's dropped so far. And when I say far, I mean, you have some top linebackers. He's not that far. It's really the 4.7 speed. In the NFL, I mean, he's probably going to run better at his pro day. Let's just say he runs a 4.6 or 4.69, somewhere in there. It's not going to change the fact that he's going to be a starting NFL off-the-ball linebacker. It's just a matter of what kind of defense is he going to play in. And with the Todd Bowles defense, as you know, we need these linebackers to play in coverage. We were even dropping pass rushers last year into coverage because of our injuries in the backfield between our safeties and our corners. So we'll see. We'll see. And the other thing they talked about is he lacks a little size for the position. And when they say that, and you're saying, well, Sean, he's 6'2", 242, this is what I learned when I was at the combine. There are guys that you see that have weight on them that looks completely natural. It looks like the weight they were born with. Like some of them can get bigger. It just looks like their frame is carrying it. Carson's frame is a little different. It almost looks like some of the weight is forced on. I mean, I can give you many, many examples of this, and there's nothing wrong with that. It just means that they're not naturally 242 pounds. So I think that you're going to see people talk about, hey, his lack of some of his size could stop some of the bigger backs. And I'm like, I don't see that. I'm just telling you what some of the pundits say. But I can tell you what I saw on tape is an explosive tackler who knows where he's supposed to be. And I think that speed is the only thing that's going to stop him from being an excellent linebacker, you know, in coverage. I think everything else he's got nailed. Barrett Carter out of Clemson, 6 foot, little on the smaller side, 231, little on the lighter side. Was a senior, had 3.5 sacks in his career, 82 tackles, 42 solo tackles. Here's a guy that is just a prototypical off-the-ball linebacker in the NFL, right? He doesn't do anything exceptionally well other than change of direction. Like, he can start, stop all day long, twice on Sunday. And he can also blitz. Obviously, with 3.5 sacks over his career, he doesn't get to the quarterback a lot, but he has shown his ability to blitz. What else does this gentleman have? I think athletically with the 4.5, I mean, he had a 4.55. He's fine. I don't really think that he's this terrific athlete. But with that speed, he should be able to backpedal. He should be able to cover the running backs out of the backfield. The fact that he can start, stop means that when he's processing, he can get to where he needs to go. This, to me, Barrett Carter is a guy that just does everything well, has the speed to be in coverage, has some blitzer stuff on tape that he's shown that he can do. But the one thing about the start-stop is the reason why he has to start-stop so fast is because he's not processing everything he sees in front of him, say, as fast as some of the other linebackers, and that kind of hurts him, and that's why he fell down a little bit. And then he also, against the run, can sometimes overrun the play. Now, as a Buccaneers fan, we've seen that with several of our linebackers over the years that love to outrun the play. Speed all day, twice on Sunday, but when they get there, they run right past the play. That's Barrett. So processing needs to get a little bit better. He needs to get more results as a blitzer, and then he needs to work on processing from the line of scrimmage, from the snap. Our next guy is Chris Paul out of Ole Miss. 6'1", 222, a little on the lighter side, ran a 4.6, 340. Had 3.5 sacks over his career, 86 tackles, 48 solo tackles. A terrific run stopper balance. He actually sheds blocks pretty well. He's twitchy, obviously, with his athletic testing. This is one of those guys that does everything on the dirty side, does all the dirty work for whatever's necessary. He goes in there, takes on double teams. He gets low on running backs. He takes on tight ends. He does everything he can to, as you can see, when you watch him on tape, he's always involved in everything that's going on. He's never like pursuing the play. He's always in the play, which I thought was really interesting. Is this is just a guy that loves to play football. For me, it's clear on tape. He also has been playing a very long time at his position. So I think that really helps him with processing. Now at 222 pounds, I don't know how much bigger he's going to be able to get, which in the NFL everyday hitting could wear on him. He's probably going to have to add 10 pounds of muscle, get into that NFL gym, that weight room, and really start to really put on some weight, but some good weight. So I think really the only knock on Chris Paul Jr. is going to be that. Can he put on solid muscle? Can he get stronger on the weight side to take on everything that he needs to do as an NFL linebacker? But I still think that he's a starter in the NFL. Moving on to Danny Stutzman out of Oklahoma. 6'3", great height, 233 pounds, ran a 4.52 at 6'3", 233. Not much of a pass rusher with only one sack in his career, 110 tackles, 44 solo tackles. So again, this is a solid off-the-ball linebacker that's not going to be much of a pass rusher, so he doesn't really fit what Todd Bowles is trying to do. Does get into throwing lanes, does get his hands up to help with the passing game, just to slow down the passing game. He's an adequate bin and run, eludes blockers on occasion. He can get stuck on a block, and I think that's probably because I think he's still a little light for a 6'3 frame. Instead of taking this is going to be an Ian Beckles thing. Instead of taking the block head on, what he tries to do is he tries to slip by the block. Now, that works for some players, but sometimes you just need to be strong enough to hit at the point of attack, bounce off that blocker, and then make the play. You can't always slip and slide around blockers. Sometimes you just need to be physical, and you just don't really see that with him, with Danny on some of the plays that you're watching. If shedding blocks is going to be an issue for him, it's all going to be strength in the weight room. He absorbs more contact than he delivers. He can be a step slow, sprinting left to right. Obviously, his speed is north to south. I think, you know, that he's going to be able to backpedal and guard some running backs. You know, he shows the speed, but he doesn't have the balance that I think would make him a top five linebacker in this class. But I think he's going to be a solid starter. And that's Danny Stutzman out of Oklahoma. Moving on to our next, here's a Bucs formal interview with Smile Mondon Jr. out of Georgia. 3 sacks at Georgia. He had 57 tackles, 29 solo tackles. He's 6'2", 225. He's a senior. He ran his 40 in 4.58 seconds. This is a guy that really fits what Todd Bowles' defense is trying to do, and he's not going to be a first-round draft pick. Possibly not even, he's probably going to be a low end second, possibly third, depending on how this draft goes for off the ball linebackers. You could have a run on them and then they sometimes can move down, very similar to what happens with running backs. He has a lot of experience. He's played 3 full seasons. He takes on blocks. He can take them off. He can pursue outside runs. He can guard the running backs. He's a plus tackler. He can cover man, rips downfield elusive as a blitzer. So this is a guy that kind of fits, again, what Todd Bowles is trying to do. Can he cover out of the backfield? Can he play the run? And if I blitz him, can he get to the quarterback? So one of the things that's inconsistent about him, again, goes back to processing. So, again, there's linebackers that process and are very reactive to the defense and what they're doing. And then you have guys that are very proactive to what they're trying to do. And this is a gentleman that, you know, is very reactive to what's going on, where he's not diagnosing it pre-snap, so he's having to react to the play. Whereas some of the top linebackers in this draft that we talked about, especially like a Campbell or a Walker, are really pre-snap processing where they're supposed to be. And this is a guy that's going to need to work on that. And then again, this gentleman would be much higher, except that he had a foot injury. And one of the things he's going to have to do is he's going to have to pass medicals, and he's going to have to be on some teams' boards, and he might be taken off some teams' boards because of his lingering foot issue. But hopefully that's not going to be a thing that's going to stop him. But the foot injury did affect him in 2 of his 3 football seasons, same injury. Again, and at the 224, can he put on weight? You need to be 235. You need to be 240. And I know everyone's going to say, Sean, why does that 10 pounds matter? It matters. it matters shedding blocks. It matters durability wise. It matters. And he's got a very thin frame. But I understand why the Bucks interviewed him, because he shows a lot of talent and they might be able to get him lower in the draft than say what his talent level is just based on his past injury. Here's another interview with the Bucks, and that's Jeffrey Bassa out of Oregon. 1.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 54 tackles, 23 solo tackles. He's 6'1", 232, ran a 4.6, 340 out of Oregon again. He's a weak side linebacker. He's a really good run defender. Good, not great hitter. Obviously was a team leader. Played inside backer to help get the best out of his teammates. He drifts downfield. He cuts off runners' operating room. Rarely allows blockers to latch on and dictate terms, tracks run with good effort, tackles with good balance. There's that word balance again, and then his recognition is pretty solid. This is a guy that's also been linked to the Bucks. He did have a formal interview with the Bucks. You know, my thing with him is everybody says we need coverage linebackers, right? And everybody says this guy's a terrific coverage linebacker. Okay, I didn't see that he was a terrific coverage linebacker. I saw that he could do it. I felt like he struggled east to west a little bit. He was more of a coming downhill linebacker. He's not overly athletic. He's not very patient, meaning that he'll jump a gap trying to make a play instead of letting the play come to him sometimes. And some of the things you see on tape, looks like he doesn't have natural instincts for the position. He kind of just learned the position and like he knows where he's supposed to be and he kind of just does his thing. But he doesn't have like that natural fluidity that you see on tape. Obviously, I think he fits what Todd Bowles is going to be trying to do later in the draft. So this gentleman is not, you know, a top 2-round guy. I think that he's probably more of a 3rd-round guy, depending on how he's going to do on his pro day. But we'll see. Again, we're talking the same thing we just discussed about Mondron, is the fact that we don't know what kind of size that he's going to be able to put on. And this is the same with Jeffrey. We don't know how much size he can put on his frame. Like I said, he's 6'1". We'll see how he does with that. He's going to have to put on some muscle. Maybe not some weight, but definitely muscle. Cody Simon is another linebacker, 6'2", out of Ohio State, 229. Senior, he ran a 4.5 flat, which is fantastic for his size. He had 7 sacks, 1 forced fumble. He had over 100 tackles, 112, 51 solo tackles. Man, I love this guy. This guy's tough, plays the run extremely well, super physical, diagnoses well. He's extremely well coached at Ohio State. He looks like a Greek god out there. The guy's built for that position. He can take on blocks, but he enjoys getting around the blocks, but he can take them on because he's powerful at his base, which is pretty good. Has terrific balance, and he's a striker, meaning he can really hit. And he can cover tight ends extremely well. He also played on special teams. If you look at his speed, though, I think that his speed was a lot better than people predicted it to be when he ran the 4.5. He can over-pursue sometimes. He doesn't have the longest arms. And again, I'm not an arms guy. I don't think Jason Light is either, since he drafts tackles with short arms that seem to make the Pro Bowl. I think that the arm thing can be coached. If the player is a player, he can play. Short players can play. Short arm players can play. Light players can play. Here's the thing. If they're a player, they find a way to make it work. I happen to like Cody Simon a lot. We'll see what happens. Another linebacker out of Oklahoma State, Nick Martin, 6'0", 221, ran a 4.5, 340, sack, 47 tackles, 28 solo tackles. Here's a guy the Bucks did a formal interview with. Pretty interesting stuff on him. So let's talk about it. He basically shoots himself out of a cannon. He runs downhill, processes what's going on, absolutely can play all 3 downs in the NFL, has great start-stop, short area quickness is very good. You know, his frame isn't very big. You know, we talked about his size. He's going to have to figure out, is he going to be able to get lost on blocks, or is he going to be able to get around blocks in the NFL and make plays? But he tackles and hits a lot bigger than what he's talking about. Now, in a 3-4, he has a lot of upside as a pass rusher. Terrific coverage and range. He'll be a really good weapon in a 3-4, which is... And by the way, his specialty is mobile quarterbacks. So I'm interested to see if Todd Bowles interviewed him, because he was very interested in his not only coverage and the fact that he plays the run, but also he's very good against mobile quarterbacks and can actually make a huge impact on that. His production against top competition hints that he's going to get better and better. He has natural instincts and playmaking ability. Now, obviously, we talked about his weakness. He's just not super big. And we'll see how that goes. I mean, can he get bigger? Can he get stronger? But he plays as a much bigger player. This guy's very intriguing to me, this Nick Martin guy. He just has a lot of going for him. And he's very physical. And he's from Texas, played at Oklahoma State. I don't know. I think there might be something about this guy. I know he's not one of the top linebackers in the draft, but I don't know. He might be a guy that's just one of those hidden gems that we find. Another gentleman linebacker that the Bucs interviewed on a formal interview was Kobe King out of Penn State. 6'1", 236, ran a 4'6", 840, which is okay. It's not terrific, but it's not terrible. Had 3 sacks, 1 forced fumble, had almost 100 tackles, 53 solo tackles. He projects as a Mike linebacker. He's a terrific run defender. He's a very physical linebacker. So this guy is very similar to what we had out of the Auburn linebacker. And we'll see if he's going to be able to cover people out of the backfield. But he's a guy that if we can get him, you know, lower in the draft, if you know, running a 3-4, he's going to be able to take on blocks, keep linebacker. He's going to be able to keep the other linebacker, which would be Levante David, in this particular case, clean. He's also going to be a special teams guy. This is probably a day 3 guy, right? But the Bucs interviewed him because he's going to add depth to the position. But I really do think that this Nick Martin is going to be better than a depth guy. And Cody Simon, again, out of Ohio State, just to me, just screams career linebacker, 10-year starter in the NFL. So I hope you enjoyed my linebacker breakdown. We're going to really get in deep with some of these player positions. And I'm very curious, since the need of off-the-ball linebacker was such an important deal going into the offseason, and now that I've heard all the Dennis talk and then the fact that Levante David re-signed, do we really need a starter in the first round, or are we looking for a guy that's going to eventually take over Levante? Levante plays the Mike. Are we looking at a Mike linebacker? And then who's going to be the best out of this group that we can play? But it might not be in the first round. And if you do take a first round linebacker, let's just say we take Campbell at 19, which, you know, it would be a terrific pick. How much is he going to really play on the field? Are we going to move him to outside linebacker? Because I don't think so. With Yaya, then whoever's going to be on the other side, and then you're going to have Levante and then Dennis. How much playing time would Campbell really get as the 19th overall pick? I don't know. It's very interesting stuff. That's why I love the draft. That's why I love these players. Please follow me at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, all of the social media sites. Email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com. Obviously, please leave me reviews. I really love that stuff. Please email me with any of your draft questions. Again, I know I went long, Steve, but it's a breakdown. There's linebackers I just can't leave out. There's linebackers that did formal interviews that I need that information getting out to the public. All right, I'll see you guys next time. Please visit us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa. See all of our amazing specials. Please go to Danny's Deli, get some great food. Please use Florida Elite Restoration. I am a 2-time customer, and I can tell you that they are the real deal. Steve is telling you the truth. This is a great company, and I like them very much. And then also, if you wanted to stop by and have some food, enjoy the Bronco Brunchery. I'll see you guys next time for our next breakdown.